Greetings to you all in Jesus' name, and I praise God for the beautiful day, the Lord's day to be together here. Let's all turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and we would read a couple of verses here. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, and we thank You very much, Lord, for today. And we thank You for Jesus, whom You sent to die on our behalf, and that we could gather together here today to worship You, and it's all because of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, to speak to us today and help us, Lord, to receive Your word, and Lord, that we would walk according to Your word and speak through me. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So for some time, I have been studying, reading through Ephesians, and the in Christ thing had been just going in my mind, and I wanted to talk about it sometime. And in Christ, it's like something that you start and there is no ending, so don't expect me to end it. So there's so many things Paul is talking here in Christ. And if you read in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So once we were helping an Indian lady, I'm from India, to prepare move. And she asked me, Sangeet, how did you adapt to the American culture so fast? And I didn't know how to answer it, but I thought for a while, and I don't exactly know how to reply to her, but here's what I believe that helped me adapt to the Christian, I would say, not necessarily the American culture, but the Christian culture. And it's all Christ. If it was not for Him, I would not have known any of you here. And even Laurel, I would not have known her if it was not for Christ. And it is because of him that I'm here, and my skin color is different. I speak a little differently than any of you here. And yeah, there's maybe if we go back to the Tower of Babel, maybe we would find some blood connection, but it's way too far to go. So there's no connection whatsoever, me in America and American culture and the American people. And for me, I find it more easier to relate to a white American Christian than an unbeliever from India, which may share the same bloodline somewhere. And it is possible only because of Christ. And in Christ, we are together. No skin color, no differences. Language might be slightly different. I mean, my language is different entirely, but even if I speak English, there is a difference. But we are all one in Christ. So in verse, so that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about in Christ. So the first thing that here we see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we are blessed in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are not in heavenly places in person right now, but somewhere in the Bible says that he has made us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. In a spiritual sense, we are in the presence of God in the heavenly places. So Paul, when writing this epistle, he was prison, or he was in home custody. He had so many restrictions, he was not able to move around, like the COVID-19 lockdown. We were so grumpy. I mean, I myself was sometimes, why all this thing has to happen? Like, why all this restriction? And I suddenly don't remember saying to my family, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places during that lockdown. Paul is saying here, when he was in the prison, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Even me, who is in prison at home, I'm not allowed to, I mean, I have so much restriction, but I'm still blessed with all spiritual blessings. So when we talk about the spiritual blessings, okay, the Christian blessing is, I believe God blesses us materially too, but the material blessing has no comparison with the spiritual blessings that God has for his people. And when God wants to bless us, I believe it is not the health, wealth, and prosperity that people talk about. Jesus talked about Solomon in Matthew chapter 6. He says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So Solomon, if we would all turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, where it talks about Solomon in all his glory. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, and we'll read a few verses from 13. Okay, it says about Solomon, the previous verses talk about the Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon's glory, and when she comes and she talks to Solomon, and she says, the people who talked to me about you, they told me just half of what you have. I mean, they did not tell me all the all the wisdom that you have and all the glory that you have. And then 39, it says, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. He, beside what the traveler merchants and traders brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. The king Solomon made 200 large sealed of hammer gold. 600 shekels of hammer gold went into each seal. He also made 300 seal of hammer gold. 300 shekels of gold went into each seal. The king put them into the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had six steps with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrest. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the six steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram once every 3 years. The merchant ship came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, at a set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls of horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the kings at Jerusalem. So he reigned over all the kings from the river that is Euphrates to the end of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and he made cedar tree as abundant as the sycamore, which are in the lowland. And they brought horses to Solomon from Egypt and from all the lands. So, silver as stone, stone. Maybe we could use silver to pave our driveways. And everything was gold. And if you would read further, there's so much stuff about Solomon. And that was the glory that Solomon had. And everywhere you see in his kingdom, gold and silver. And Jesus is pointing to that and saying, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these lilies, the flower that comes today and tomorrow it's gone. So that is the material blessing that Solomon had. And there's one more story that I'd like to read about. And I was thinking about this message and God talked to me to a different way. Fanny Crosby, somebody might think about her. And I was reading a little bit about her, and she, so this is what I found out about her. She was definitely blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. She was born, according to her autobiography, she says that she was blind. She got blind because of some infection at the age of 6 months. But the scholars, they believe that she was born blind. And she wrote about 8,000 songs. And one of them, we sing so many of her songs, and one of them is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And that song has been a blessing to me. Even before I came to the U.S., we would sing this song. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, and this is my song. A blind lady, and I can't imagine how it would be to be blind your entire life. I don't know if she knew how she looked. I mean, how maybe she could feel herself, but what does the world look like? And how does my bed look like? And my room look like? And the food that I'm eating, what does it look like? And has no idea of anything. And she's writing this song and saying, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. That is the spiritual blessing that God has blessed us with in Christ Jesus. If it was not for Christ, I wonder if she would say that. Maybe she would be one of those blind people sitting along the road, and they hear Jesus going by and, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe something like that. Yeah, those people were blessed too. Jesus healed them, and I hope and I believe that they gave their life to Christ someday. The Bible talks so much about the spiritual blessing than the material blessing. And Paul, in prison, he's writing, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Thank you very much. And then the second thing we see here, now it might go a little bit towards the other direction, but I'd like your inputs. If you would want to interrupt me and say a little bit, you're welcome. It would not be a debate. So we're chosen in Christ. It says, just as He chose us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in beloved. The word beloved here, I believe it's referring to Christ or in Christ. How do we look at these verses? In John 3:16, Jesus said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's no matter where you are, no matter who you are, God loved everybody, and He sent His Son that everyone that believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in John 1:11 and 12 says, He came to His own, Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. John 1 and 13 says, Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God's calling sinner everywhere to come and be saved, but not everyone received that invitation. And in Isaiah chapter 55 and 1 says, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come. Come to the water, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy, listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in it, delight itself in abundance. So God's invitation is for everybody. Like you are a teacher and you have 100 students in your classroom, and as you are walking out the door and you say, okay, whole class, come on, let's play some game, and you invite everybody, but only 20 people come out of the classroom, and now you have to choose what role those 20 people in the game are to. So I believe it's something like that. God's calling is for everybody to come and be saved and get the gift of eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. But does everybody accept that calling? Not everybody does, but it is those people who are chosen who accept His invitation and want to be part of God's family. Isaiah 55 and 3 says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John 1 and 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. God is inviting every one of us to come to Him and drink and get it freely. God doesn't do any partiality. He just did not choose. Okay, this person I need to save and that person I need to save. His invitation is for everybody. In verse 7 of Ephesians says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. We have redemption in the blood of Christ. And I would encourage every one of us to read through Ephesians and this incomplete sermon in Christ. You can go on in Christ. There's so many things in Christ. I would encourage every one of us to study it and find out the blessings that we have in Christ so much. And it's in Christ and Christ alone. May God bless every one of us today.